What's up, dudes and dudettes? Not sure if people still say that, but anyways, welcome back to another episode of Scale Riders Podcast. I am your host, Edgar Vergara, also known on Instagram as 65Lokes. This is episode 71. My guest tonight is George Torres, also part of So Many Ways Model Car Club. And you can find him on Instagram at So Many Ways. So let's go ahead and give George a call and let's get on with the episode.
Hello.
Hey, what's up, George? How are you?
Hey, what's up, Edgar? Akira, chilling, brainstorming for the next build. A ver qué sale.
Oh, that's good, dude. Heck yeah, man. That's what's up. Welcome to the podcast.
Oh, gracias, man. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no problem. Hey, I also wanted to say congratulations. I saw you got an award for your 75 Caprice, the top pick.
Yeah, I got that recently this Sunday in the car show that I went to.
That's awesome. That was the father and son bike and model car show?
Yeah, that was it. Yeah, that was.
That's tight. Where did they have the model car show at?
It was like a Hooters parking lot.
Uh-huh.
It was like a Hooters parking lot. It was like, they had like, it was outside, you know, they had tents and, you know, they had bikes and it was pretty cool.
Yeah, that's dope. I was looking on your guys' Instagram because you guys were posting a lot of footage of it. It looked tight. There was also like cars, lowrider cars that were there as well, set up.
Yeah, there was a few cars, but mostly it was like bicycles and they had a few pedal cars. And there was a couple like tents on model cars. There was not really too much. It was like, you know, it was us and there was this other guy named Flaco. You know, it was pretty cool. They had some dope cars out there.
Yeah, that's nice. Is that the first time they do that event or have they done that before right there?
I'm not too sure. It's the first time me hearing about it. So, you know, we decided to go to check it out.
Yeah. No, that's dope, man. I also noticed, the Builder's Choice winner for the model car build off for your 61 Impala.
Yeah.
See. Congrats on that too, man. I saw that. I was like, damn, that's dope, man. You've been active, dude. You've been doing a lot of stuff.
Well, yeah, I've been trying, man. You know, I mean, this hobby, you know, it just helps me with my anxiety and all that. And, you know, just building, you know, frees my mind. So, you know, I try to stay active.
Yeah, no, definitely. Because just like over time, you know, from when I got to meet you and then just from seeing you at shows, but then also keeping up with your Instagram with all your work, I've noticed a lot of stuff. Like, I mean, you've always been killing it with the hoppers. Like, you've been doing a lot of stuff with painting now, engine detail, your interiors. It's just like you're well rounded with everything now. It's just like getting crazier with it.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, I've been to a lot of shows, and you know, every time I go, I get, you know, there's always new things that I learn from other builders. And, you know, every time I see something more, I just like, you know, I want to build something that, you know, is going to be similar to it. But, you know, on the hopper with all that little extra detail, because that small detail makes a lot of difference.
Yeah, because on that 61 Impala, the one you won for the Builder's Choice, I was just like tripping out on the engine because... Did that take a long time, man? Because there's a lot of detail going on in there, in that engine.
I mean, you know, it takes a long time because, you know, especially for a hopper to have that detail, like, you know, the hoppers are always going up and down, and to have that detail in the hopper is just, like, kind of crazy because, you know, usually when you're hopping, little parts start falling off and, you know, here and there. So, you know, it's kind of hard to add the detail. But sometimes, you know, I just got to make it work and, you know, and it came out good, you know?
Yeah. No, yeah, because even on a lot of the hoppers, I notice sometimes you have to cut, like, the wheel well for the A-arms to go in there and stuff.
Yeah.
And I don't know, yours looks super clean, dude. Like, everything, like, just the way it looks in there. And I like the pattern as well that's on the hood and on the back on the trunk. That looks pretty rad. Are you using House of Color paint, or what kind of paint are you using nowadays?
Well, I started using House of Color like recently. Like, I don't got that much time airbrushing, but I think House of Color's been like one of the best paints that I've been able to like mess with. Because I tried other paints, and I don't know, it just House of Color has this thing that, you know, when I shoot it, to me, it looks good, you know. So I haven't gone nowhere else with other paints but House of Colors.
Yeah. What did somebody recommend it, or did you just kind of see it, like people using it over time? Like, what made you kind of, you know, over time be like, you know what, I'm gonna just try it out? Was it just from all the various stuff?
Yeah. Well, I have this guy came in car, and you know, the patterns that he did, you know, I was just like, it just caught my attention. I was like, man, I want to learn how to do patterns and, you know, try different colors. And, you know, I asked him what kind of paint he was using, and then he told me House of Colors. And then I was like, damn, all right, I got to check it out. And I ordered me a little kit that eBay sells. Like, it has like a couple candies and, you know, a couple base coats. And, you know, I gave it a shot, and, you know, I was amazed with it.
Yeah, you're like, man, this is what everyone's using. Like, it's like when you find, you come across something, and you're like, oh, this is how it's done. Like, it just gets you excited.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, it's crazy.
That's dope. And do you, when you work on your model cars, is it more at night do you wait, or do you do it during the day?
Well, it all depends, because, like, my work, I don't have no schedule. So, you know, sometimes I get out early, sometimes I get out late, but, you know, like, sometimes, I mean, I don't really like watching TV or none of that. So, you know, sometimes when I get home from work, I just, you know, go straight to the table, start working on something, or just look at a car and just brainstorm, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm always, it's always random times, you know?
No, definitely. I bet, like, you notice, like, when you start getting into the engine detail, like, the little parts, that's where it starts to get, like, expensive. All like, the small little bolts and everything you need, the wiring. Do you ever go to, like, Pegasus and just go crazy, like, buying little parts?
I don't got that much time using that detail, like, all that little small aluminum, like, carburetors and the filters, mm-hmm. and, you know, all that's kind of new to me. So, like, every time I go to Pegasus, you know, I go to that wall and I just be like, I don't need this, but I'm still going to take it, you know, just to have it there. And, like, little by little, it's just, you know, I'll be like, oh, damn, like, this part, little part costs, like, $10. And you know, like, that little detail, like, it's just crazy, you know, when you go to that wall, like, dang, you just want to take everything, but, you know.
Yeah, it adds up, dude, because I've been there, too, where I'm just like, oh, I'm just going to get, like, a steering column for the car or a steering wheel, and then you start seeing more stuff, and then you're like, fuck, I also need that, too. So you start grabbing all these things, and then you start adding them up, and you're like, dude, it's already, like, $80 right here in my hands, and you have, like, a little stash right there, and then you're like, man, and I still want to get some model cars. So all that stuff, it definitely adds up, but it's like one of those things, even though if you don't use them like right now, you'll use them later and you're going to be like, oh, I'm glad I bought that at that time.
Yeah. I mean, I have like a little stash that I've been like collecting, and I'll be like, you know, like I don't need it now, but I know later in the future, you know, it's going to get to use, you know?
Mm-hmm. No, yeah, it will.
Yeah.
It'll definitely come in handy. And because I've noticed on your bench, like when you're showing your, like your projects, it's cool how you have it set up. Your table, you have your, like your, is it like a cup or something? You have all your styrene in there?
Yeah. I have like a couple of cups with like styrene, like brass tubing, you know, like my basic tools that I need, like, you know, like my desk is always a mess, but like I know where exactly everything is at, like, you know?
Yeah. No, yeah, it's like, you need this, bam, you reach over and it's right there. It's crazy because even, like, myself, like, seeing, at first I was like, what is that, like, a holder? And then I was like, oh, it's like a cup. I was like, because I was having trouble putting, whenever I buy styrene, since it's packaged and it's really long, I was like, where am I gonna put it? You know? And then when I saw your thing, I was like, oh man. So I got inspired, like, oh, I want to do that too, you know? So I started on my desk, like putting like stuff in there as well. I only have one cup, but I don't know, maybe later I might have more with more stuff in there. But I do kind of have something like that too, similar.
Yeah, those things, I mean, you start with one cup and sooner or later you'll be like, oh, I have two, three now. And those parts just keep adding up, you know?
Yeah, no, definitely. That cup was like, I didn't have that much and now it's all thick, like it's all full. And I'm like, dang. But it's cool to have it there, though. It's very easy and it looks a lot cleaner just having it in there. It's like easy, easy access. So what kind of airbrush are you using right now?
Right now I have Patriot, the Badger 105.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Yeah, that's what I'm using right now. I have a Iwata small jet compressor. So,
oh, that's dope.
You know, like something I got it from, I think it was Michael's. You know, Michael's always carry mm-hmm. those coupons.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I used one of those coupons and, you know, I think it was like the cheapest route to start with.
Yeah. I like using the Iwata, the HPCS. It has like a nice size cup where you can put enough like paint. Pretty much, you don't have to fill up the whole cup, but even just filling up maybe like half the cup is enough for like the whole body, I would say.
Yeah.
You know, but.
Well, yeah, I've been looking into them, you know. I think that'll be my next gen that I'm planning on purchasing because this one, the one I got, is pretty worn out. So I think, mm-hmm. you know, soon it'll be time to update.
Yeah, at some point. Because I love that brush a lot, and I've noticed it on pictures or people using that one a lot. So it's kind of like a workhorse, like it gets the job done. And then I remember like switching out because you can change the needle, like the size of the needle. Because it comes with like a 0.3 size needle, and then I changed it to a 0.5, which makes it just spray like a lot more. So with the 5, that's what I'm using to shoot clear coat out of with the House of Color clear coat. And and it shoots it good with the 5. Like I've never had a problem like it getting stuck or because I had someone message me one time telling me they were trying to spray it, but they couldn't. And I was like, maybe you didn't add too much reducer, you know, like to mix it just so it it's able to shoot out of there. But
if you don't mix it right, like it has to thick and it dries up fast also and like it gets clogged up real quick. So
are you also using the House of Color clear as well?
Yeah, I recently started using it like on my last two builds, like on the red truck. No, actually three builds. I done the red truck with it. I done the un luxury sport, and then I did the green one. So I barely started using it.
That's dope. Yeah, I love the Show Clear one. I have the UC35 clear, and then recently I had purchased the other one earlier this year, or was it late last year? I can't remember if it was December or January, but I really like the way it lays on the model cars. And it just, I don't know, something about it, it brings up like some really nice shine on the model cars, which I
love. It does. I'm not at the polishing yet, like not, you know, how to polish the cars yet, but I've seen other cars with that clear. Once you polish it, man, it looks real, real good. Like, you know, so hopefully those are my next steps on something that I'm trying to learn how to polish them.
It does make a difference once you like polish them.
I do most of my work outside, and sometimes like, you know, there's little breeze coming by and, you know, there's always like little specks that, like on the clear, and you got to either buff them out or, you know.
Yeah.
And, I think that's the next step that I want to do, you know.
No, yeah, definitely. I remember before, like trying to clear with the Tamiya, the rattle cans, and just clearing it. And every time I was outside clearing, there would always be dust or a little bug that would fly into the clear. And I'd be like, damn. And I'd be like trying to take it off. And I remember stuff falling on it, trying to use tweezers or even like my nails to try to like pick it out. Cause it's like half of the body of the bug, let's say it's like in the clear and the other half still sticking out. But even doing that, I would still kind of like getting all nervous, all shaking. I would like poke the car and I'd be like, dang, like I'm already messing this up, you know? And I remember, like later it drying and it wasn't that shiny, like the car, it wasn't that shiny. I was just like, man. And then my friends kept telling me like, no, you need to use House of Color and then use the clear. And it's a whole different thing. But I still, cause I wasn't, airbrushing yet. So I didn't understand what they were like saying. And then like fast forward to now, like one of my friends, I was with him at his shop and, he was clear coating like a hood. And all of a sudden this bug lands on the hood, like a tiny little like fly. And I was like, wow. I was like, oh dude, how are we going to get that out? Cause he just shot the car, like, I mean the hood, and it was just chilling there. And it, like the clear was still wet, but he's like, oh, don't trip. He's like, let me show you something. So he grabbed tape and he folded the tape in half. So this way you have like the sticky side on the outside.
Okay.
And he folded it into like a point. So it's like really pointy. And then he just was like, watch, I'm going to get them. Cause like the sticky side of the tape is going to touch that fool and it's going to like pull him out. So he did it. And I was like, oh dude, I wish you would have like showed me that many years ago.
Cause
I was like, I've had that problem before. So when he took it out, the bug came off, but you know how like sometimes it can leave like a little, it might pull the clear out a little, like a little hole or something. So then he says, since it's still wet, he's like, I'm going to hit it one more time real quick, like another pass of clear. And yeah, he did one more pass and boom, it just flowed out. Like you couldn't even tell like anything happened. And I was like, dang, all right, all right. I was like, cool. I was like, I learned something. Good thing I came through. But yeah, man, it was cool. I was like, all right, I'm going to have to keep that in mind if ever something goes wrong, you know, while I'm working with the... All right. With the cars, but you know how you were talking about the polishing. The first cars that I clear coated, I wasn't even down to polish them because I was like worried that I was gonna burn through the clear, and I just wasn't familiar, dude. I was like, fuck, I don't know how to do that, you know. But I would see people.
Yeah, I gave it
doing it.
I gave it a shot one time, and I got like a lot of extra bodies and like cars teared up and I tried polishing and real quick I put the little thing on the drill and I burned right through the paint and I was like, man, like I'm so scared, like especially when you waste, like, you know, when you got some good paint and those candy colors and mm-hmm. like you don't want to burn right through it, so you know you got to be real careful with that.
Yeah, I'm still like I haven't even tried with the Dremel. I've just kind of stayed away. I do it with the hand. I'll do it. Like I had to do it one time because I noticed they had the clear had a lot of little like dirt and stuff. And I was like, all right, I need to really like polish this and clean it out. And it did, but I did it manually. It took a while, but I was really happy at the end because I was just like, all right, cool. I'm in control of like the motion and I don't have to like, cause the Dremel, I feel like, dude, I'm going to burn right through it right away. Once it touches.
Yeah.
So he's, I don't know, maybe later. I see some people using that and I'm like, dang, that's crazy. That's kind of risky, but they do.
Yeah, I've seen Airshot things. I've seen him a couple of videos.
Yeah.
Done it, you know, and I tried it a couple of times, but you know, they don't come out like his cars. His cars just be like super wet and, you know, nice and smooth and, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, yeah. Fine, you know, little by little trying, I mean, I'm going to get the hang of it and, you know, hopefully, you know, expect some good results.
Yeah. I was, the other day I was looking through, like, my pics on my phone from, like, shows from the past. And I noticed on one of the shows at the Cadillac Fest, I believe it was the 7, where they did the Whittier Boulevard. And I was like, I took like a side pic, and you see everybody, and you're like there, dude, like walking in the aisle. And it's crazy because I was like, when I see that pic, I go, oh, damn, there's George. But at the time, I didn't know you. And then I saw other people, you know, and I was like, damn, you guys were all there. That's dope that you guys were at that show at that time. And you guys also brought out cars, right?
Yeah, we took a couple cars. I think that was my second show or third show ever going to.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I told the other guys, and they're like, oh, let's go. You know, let's just pull up and see, you know, what's new out there. And, you know, from the end of that diorama, the Whittier Boulevard was just like, man, it's crazy, you know, seeing all the nice cars and, you know, Masterpiece, like all their cars be like just like unbelievable, you know. And like sometimes when I go to shows like that, you know, I'm just so excited watching the cars. Sometimes I even forget to take pictures, you know, like,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's crazy, you know.
Yeah, like that show when you guys went, did you guys think there was going to be that many cars that were going to be there? Because it was so many damn cars, dude. It was crazy.
Yeah, it was crazy. Like, we had took like more cars, but like the tables got packed real quick, and you know, like space was running out, and then there was other people still showing up, and you know, like, so we only display like the most, like the all right looking cars, you know, because at that time we wasn't building as much as we, you know, building now.
Yeah, and did you guys were you guys already on Instagram at that time?
I wasn't, you know, Caesar was on Instagram, and, I had one of my cars. I remember I had one of my cars, and, he sent me a picture like, hey, your car's on Instagram. And, you know, after that next day, I started my Instagram. So I hadn't been in Instagram that long.
Yeah. Damn. That's cool to see your car was there. And then, because the reason I bring it up is because like a lot of the people that I see in the picture, like now I know them, you know, like now we know each other, we've met, we're friends, we follow each other and stuff. And I check out each person's stuff, but it's crazy. Like for me, that was like one of my, I would say like one of my first like model car shows. And
yeah,
and I was like, dude, I thought that every show was gonna be like that at that level, like that there was gonna be that many cars every show. I just always assumed that, but my friends were like, nah, dude, that it's gonna be rare that happens, because everybody's busy and people came out, they drove from far away for it too. And I was like, dang, you know, but it was dope.
No, I remember it too, because I've been to, my first show I went to was ValleyCon, like maybe like 3 years ago. And when I went to that show, I was like my first show. And I was like, man, these cars, that's when I was like, I got to step my game up, you know, to be more presentable, you know, to pull up to the shows, you know, and have the cars looking right. Because, you know, at that time, I mean, I seen a lot of faces. Like you know, like Armando and Frank at Casillas Wheels. At that time, like, I didn't know nobody, you know. So I was like, damn, these guys, like, there was a bunch of guys, like in little crowds talking to each other. And now that I've been building, I kind of know who's who. But, you know, like, little by little, I was like, damn, I want to be like them, you know. Like, it inspired me a lot because their builds are just incredible.
Yeah, that's awesome. Have you been thinking about like, have you traveling more, like to more shows like up north or other areas, like maybe San Diego or wherever, like wherever there's going to be a show that's kind of a little more farther away?
Sometimes like I do want to go, but like my schedule from work is like, you know, so, you know, I work like from Monday to Saturday, and you know, like Sunday's my really day off. And then, you know, if the show is on Sunday and if it's around like SoCal, you know, we're going to be there for sure. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, you know, we plan to go to NNL once, you know, we want to go check that show out and see how that is too.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, take that little drive and you know, experience, you know, another level on that side of the, you know.
Yeah, I would recommend it. I think a lot of people would like for you guys to come out there because you guys get a lot of love out here, and I think out there as well, because you guys know a lot of the people that build models that are up there. And the drive isn't so bad. It's just one of those things, like, you know, just trying to find the time, really, like, to plan out what time should we leave. Like, should we bust the mission, like, early in the morning? You know, leave at maybe like 3 a.m. or something, or 4, and make that drive, or go the night before and stay out there and then just attend the show. But this year was my second time going to that one, and it was fun. Because I felt like now, I've met everybody that was there, but I got to see them again. So it just was like a lot funner. It was just different, the experience. And I just feel like if I go back again, it should be fun as well. Just because it's like, it's a lot of people you don't get to see all the time.
Yeah, yes.
So it's like, I think, and then plus, like, you guys bringing your hoppers too, that would be pretty, pretty awesome, man. The people love seeing that stuff.
Yeah, this last show we went to, I mean, like, I know some other guys have posted it, and some guys were, oh, so many ways going to be there. Like, let's go check them out. And some guy was telling me, man, I follow you. Like, man, I love your work. And, like, there's, like, pretty cool people always, like, want to, you know, see somebody else's work. And, you know, and you know, I would like to, you know, también go further, you know, to, you know, show my work. So, you know.
Yeah. One of the things that I admire about you guys is that you guys are like super active and heavy on the hoppers. Like, when I started to see a lot of your stuff was on the True Riders Facebook page, and then on the Instagram, and then at the Lowballer show, the first one. When you guys were all there, brought out all the cars, and yes, hooked them up, and I remember at some point they started to do like a hopping contest, and everybody was crowded around. And one thing that I was like tripping on is that your cars, they don't stop hopping, like they just keep going, and the strings like don't even rip. Like your thing is just active. I feel like you got it down to the science, like you know what's going on. Like I've attempted hoppers as well in the past, and I've managed to do a couple where I'm getting them off the ground like they're hitting bumper, but then the string rips, something happens, the A-arms break, and I don't know, how do you do it? Like I mean, I know you got your style, but it's just like, are you like hard on yourself to say, you know what, this has to be at this level?
I mean, you know, I bought my first hopper like in I think it was 2016. There was this guy selling a hopper, and you know, at that time I didn't know nothing about A arms and none of that. I was using the T sliders and the O. So when I seen the new setup, like, you know, I was like so hooked on it, like, you know, because I've been around hoppers, like model cars, like, you know, since the 90s, since the late 90s. So I was like, you know, I want to build one of these. So there was this guy selling one, and I bought it. And, you know, I just studied the car, took it apart. And you know, and I started, like, building my own. And then, like, little by little, I noticed, like, all the weak points and, like, all, you know, instead of using styrene plastic, I started using brass. And you know, that's how I worked myself up so my cars wouldn't break. And then I started using, like, you know, that they have this Johnny weld, like, to kind of weld plastic together. I started using that, and since I started using that, like, the cars just, you know, last longer, they don't break.
Mm-hmm.
And I started using fishing string, they sell like up to 100 pounds, and you know, the better the string, you know, the less rips you're gonna have. And like little by little, you know, I studied the cars. I knew that the weak point. point, and I just worked on that, and you know, I'm at where I'm at now.
That's tough, dude. You know, one thing that I never understood, or I, like, when I would see the hopper videos, I would always see the car just hopping, right? But they would never show, like, the person hitting the switch, you know, like their hands. Okay. It was mostly, like, you see the car and the cable, but you don't, but I'm not, who's doing it and what's the motion that they're doing, right? And then I remember when I did, like, my first hopper, and I had the string, like, I saw pictures of how people were tying the string from the A arms down to the string that goes to, like, the, what is it, like, the Johnson motor?
Yeah.
And that tugs it, that basically just keeps, like, pulling it to make the A arms, like, I guess, I don't know, just make the hopping motion. And
yeah, it makes them go up and down, yeah.
So I ended up getting, like, some kind of fishing string as well. I don't know the pound, like, I don't know how many pounds it's, like, strong for or whatever, but I didn't know that you had to toggle the switch forward and then back. So I just kept hitting it in one direction over and over and over. And, like, maybe on the third or fourth hit, the string just, like, wrapped around the Johnson motor so much that it just pulled the A-arms. It just, like, ripped them off. Like, boom. And I was like, dang. But that was one thing that stood out right now, what you just said, was the weak points, figuring out the weak point. And that was something that I never really, like, was even considering. I was just like, man, like, what am I doing wrong, you know?
No, it's crazy because when I first started, like, you know, when you got to make, like, a little hole through the plastic to run the string.
Mm-hmm.
So back then, I didn't use, you know, eyelets. Like this little metal thing that called eyelets.
Uh huh. The little metal eyelets. Yeah.
Yeah. So I didn't use those, and like when I used to lift the back, like the servos, the string, like the fishing string, used to rip through the frame, and I was like, damn, why is this car not working good? And little by little, the string will start cutting through the frame. And I was like, damn, like, you know, like stuff like that. Me starting, I didn't know none of that. Like, I didn't know what I had to buy or nothing. So that was one of the reasons that made me buy a car. So, you know, just, you know, I'll buy one made, and from I'll go from there. Like, you mm-hmm. know, just not study yet. The car, do my homework, and little by little, you know, like, I'll take it apart, and I'll take, you know, take, like, the styrene size and all that. I'll take it to the hobby shop just so I can get the right size of everything, you know?
Yeah. Nah, heck yeah. It's crazy because I feel like everyone who loves lowrider cars loves hoppers, you know? So, like, from going back to, like, the lowrider bicycle magazines, I always loved when you were flipping through pages and come across, like, an article where it was about someone showing their car that was, like, a hopper, or they're giving you, like, a tutorial of how to do a hopper. And it was just, like, even for myself at the time, I was like, man, I want to do a hopper, like, back in the day. But I didn't even have no idea where to even get all the stuff. And it wasn't until, like, that True Riders page, when I joined that page, when I started joining that group and just seeing what people were doing. And then some people were, like, showing you, like, oh, this is what, like, the materials or whatever. I was, like, little by little, like, learning how to do it. But yeah, it requires work, though, to get it going.
No, yeah. I mean, every car is, like, a different setup, you know? Like, I remember, like, way back in the days, because I remember buying my first hopper. This was, like, I think it was like 97, like the late 90s. And back then it was only it was called U-bar. And they'll use like a pole hanger wire. They'll fold it up and, you know, run the fishing string. That was like way back. And, you know, I used to do that setup. Like, you know, I did one setup. You know, I bought one and then I tried a second setup and then, you know, I was like, damn, you know, this is crazy how it works.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I ran into True Riders, I was like, damn, these guys are using A-arms, you know?
Yeah.
And that just was like, mind blowing because I was like, man, I want to try that, you know. I already kind of had a history of building hoppers, and I was like, man, you know, let me start building again, you know, and that just caught my attention, and that's what really started it off for us, you know.
Yeah, I remember on True Riders, there was the way what led me to True Riders was first on YouTube. I was watching that one art model builder. He goes by Dre One Only. That does the hoppers. So I started watching. I came across his channel and I started watching him first for like a long time, like all his videos. I started like trying to learn as much as I could, and then from there, he like mentioned it or somehow he mentioned it or something that I came across the Facebook. And once I joined that, little by little, you start seeing like all the different like hopper clubs and everything, right? And then you start seeing fools getting crazy, calling each other out and this and that. And then I started seeing people selling parts. So when I started to see the A-arms, I bought some off of, I believe his name on the thing was Sean Hustle.
Yeah.
So I remember buying like a bunch of A-arms off of him. Cause he's all like, what kind of car are you going to hop? Is it going to be an Impala or a G-body? And I was like, oh, Impala. And I was like, oh, damn, that's dope. I didn't even know you were giving like options, you know?
No, yeah, it's crazy. Cause, like when I first started building, I thought all the same, you know, that all the areas were the same, but you know, I ran into that guy also. And, you know, I started buying my parts from him, and then he was like, yeah, you know, I got A-arm Impalas, and then, G-body A-arms. And then, I think the glass house got different A-arms, and, you know, he gave me an option, and, you know, I bought a set of each, and, I work with them. And, you know, at that time, man, I was building like a car per week, you know. Mm-hmm. But I was building them so fast, like I didn't even use like clear coat or bare metal foil or none of that. Like I'll just paint it one color and build it up, and you know, I was ready to hop.
Yeah, dang. Yeah, because I always like seeing your videos when you would show like the kit and the parts. And then you would say something like, oh, I'm going to get it hopping by tonight or something, you know? And then later you have the car all wired up and it's all ready. I'm like, man, this guy's fast.
Man, I mean, I've built a lot of cars that, you know, like there's certain cars that I can already build, you know, without, you know, like just off the back real quick. And, there's like certain new cars that, you know, customers want, they want me to build, like that I had never built. Like, man, those cars get me stuck, but you know, I'll figure it out after a while. But yeah, like there's certain cars already have like the G bodies, like, and like the 64 and 63 Impalas, like those are straight easy, like out my head, like I could build real quick.
Yeah. I was gonna say, cause do you get orders from people that say, just sell me the car, like hooked up, you know, and I'll paint it kind of thing. Like I'll take it apart, paint it. Do you do stuff like that as well? Or do they kind of just want you to do the whole thing for customers?
There was a time that I was doing like, orders back to back. Like, I mean, people will ask for different orders, like if they just wanted like something plain, just what to set up, you know, I'll do it. And if they wanted a complete car with paint, you know, I'll do it also, you know. But lately I haven't been taking orders, like, you know, I was staying away, like trying to stop building. But you know, like with all this new detail that I've been learning, and then the airbrush, and then I was like, nah, you know what? I'm gonna start building for myself, and now if people like it, I'll just sell it. Cause when I used to take orders, I was like kind of stressing, like, man, I gotta get this car right, get it, you know, how they want it, and you know, there was times that you know, I'll build the car, and I couldn't, you know, build it as they wanted. So I'll be like, dang, you know, the part didn't came out as you wanted it. So, you know, sometimes I'll drop the price, you know, a little bit less, you know, just so, you know, just to have a customer, a happy customer. And, you know, like, you know, it was pretty good taking orders. But right now I just took a break from customers and just started building for myself, you know.
Mm-hmm. No, that's good. That's good that you do that. This way you can focus on your craft. And just keep working on the things you want to learn, you know? And because it never ends. There's just so much stuff to learn. But I do see that, like, once, like, let's say you do a car for yourself and you got your fulfillment from it, you love it, but then, you know, someone wants to buy it, and if you're like, you know what, I'll sell it, then at least, you know, you have something that's, like, done and whatnot. But yeah, I could see that being stressful. Like, if you're just taking orders, like you said earlier, because even with me, like, sometimes I'll get hit up, like, for a paint job on a model car or something. And, like, I would love to, but then part of me is like, nah, I don't think I can do it, because I just feel like I don't want to take on that stress, you know? And
yeah, no.
And then I feel like it's going to take the fun out of it, that later I'm just like not even going to be feeling it for a minute and be like, like I'm going to stop for a bit, you know?
No, that's one thing that, most of my paint work I do it outside. And, like lately, you know, the weather's been crazy and, you know, like trying to take an order with this weather, just, you know, and to get a right day, you know, because I'm usually off on Sunday. So Sunday is like the only day that I'll really get to painting. And, you know, stress of when, you know, when I'll get an order, like, man, I have to wait all the way to Sunday to paint this car, you know. Yeah. Like, you know, like, I don't have time during the week because of work. And by the time I get home, it's already dark. So I was like, nah, you know what, I'm just going to, you know, build for myself. And if somebody likes it and, you know, if the price is right, I'll just let it go. And, you know, that's how it's been lately, you know.
Yeah, isn't it a trip that, like, now that you're painting outside or anything, it's like you're always paying attention to the weather. Like, you're always like,
no,
just trying to see, like, you know, hopefully it doesn't rain, hopefully it's not windy. Before I didn't even care, really. Like, I didn't pay attention to it, but now, like, every day I'm always checking, like, the weather report and everything.
Well, yeah, that's one thing you always got to look out, because let's say you know, you clear the car and then it gets windy, and then, you know, it's just going to be it's something you're going to have to start all over with, you know. And I'm always checking the weather, you know. I always see if it's like, you know, like 70 or more, like, oh, like, you know, I could do, like, you know, base coat or something real quick, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Nah, so I'm always checking for the weather, yeah.
Yeah, no, that's pretty cool. Have you ever thought about maybe getting like one of those like small like spray booths to paint your cars?
I've been thinking about that, but I want I was thinking of more like a shed and have like, because you know my equipment is always put away, so every time like I gotta paint, I gotta take the whole equipment out, gotta get everything ready, so. I was thinking more like a shed where I can have everything like ready to set up, and I don't have to unplug nothing, and you know, something to make it a lot easier for me, you know?
No, yeah. Cause sometimes you want to go paint, but then you can get hesitant cause you're like, fuck, I got to plug everything in. I got to bring everything out. And when it's ready to go, it's just, you turn on a switch, you get your paint out and you're ready. And it's like faster.
Yeah, see, that's something that I'm looking more into, because, you know, it's a hustle, you know, like bringing everything out, plugging it up, or you know, just trying to get the airbrush ready, and then you have to make the paint, and, you know, all that. By the time you look and you're ready to spray, you already wasted like an hour, you know?
Yeah, that's true. And then you got to put everything back at the end, and you're all tired from all the fumes and everything. You're like, dang, all right, gotta do this. The things we do, man. But at the end, it's crazy. Like, you put in all this work, you get your model done, And then once you see it and you're just happy with it, it's like whatever happened in the past and all the hours and time, it's like it doesn't even matter no more. Like, you're just happy that you got it done. You know, you're like,
oh yeah, man,
this is cool right here. Has there been like a model car that you can say, I don't think I can make that hop? Because I feel like you can probably make any model car hop at this point.
I mean, no, there's certain cars that, I mean, like the promos, you know, they got the chassis, you know, with the wheels and all that, like molded to it.
Uh-huh.
Like those cars are a lot harder. So I'm always buying like extra undercarriage, you know, like the bottom frame. Like every time I know there's a car that is going to need it and I see it like on eBay, just the frame by itself, I'm always like buying extra parts, even if I don't need it. So like promos is like one of the hardest cars like to do a setup on.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, you would have to pretty much like either cut it up like crazy or just create your own frame or swap it out. Like you would have to, yeah, because everything's just all like kind of molded in there, all that stuff on there. But
yeah,
but
those kids they're just a headache, you know. So and then you gotta open the hood and you know, like that's one of those cars I just really hate. Like promos, it's just that extra work. But you know, eventually, you know, if you got the right equipment, like everything will play out good.
No, yeah. What's like the next thing you want to learn, like overall, like from everything that you've been doing?
Well, I mean, right now, just working myself with the paint, like, you know, like the mixture of the paint, like, mm-hmm. you know, when you buy paint, they don't give you instructions on how to mix it and little by little, you know, I've been, YouTube has helped me a lot, you know,
yeah.
Like I've seen some of your videos on how to make, how to reduce the paint. And, right now that's my really focus. Cause, I want to try like all the different colors that, you know, at one time, cause you know, like right now I know how to spray it, but I know how to spray one color, but that extra, you know, like all the extra patterns with different colors, like,
mm-hmm.
I think that's one of my steps that I really want to work myself out on that.
Yeah. No, yeah. Yeah. It took me a while to learn like the reducing, mixing of the paints. Cause I remember at first when I started buying my paint, I was buying it just like concentrate and it needed to be reduced cause it was just like too thick. But I ended up going on online and looking up the tech data sheets that pretty much give you like the instruction to mix the paint, how to reduce it. But at the time I didn't understand what like 1-to-1 or 2-to-1 or whatever that meant, you know. I was always like, what does that mean? But then little by little, just from asking people and friends and seeing people do it, I got to see like, oh dang, this is how that's mixed. But I did notice that like for like the candies, you have to not only use the reducer, but also intercoat clear with it. But I feel like the metallics, pearls, even just like the like base coat colors, like those are pretty easy to reduce. It's usually like a 1-to-1 on those ones. But any other ones, just hit me up, like text me and I'll tell you, you know?
Like
if there's something on there or call me, you know, whatever, like I can show you, like, cause I have all the paint at my parents' house. I leave it all over there. And that's normally where I paint. And right now where I'm living at, it's so hard. I can't even paint in here. I recently bought a booth and I'm thinking about painting in the room, but if I do that, it's going to be more like the Createx paint that I'm going to be using in here at home just because it doesn't smell. But all the House of Color stuff, I have it back over there and I can always like, you know, I can always make like a video or send you like pictures or something to just to break it down a little more in case if there's something. Because, Yeah, it took me a while too to like, but then my friends started to shed some light on it, so that helped a lot to speed everything up.
Well, yeah, it's crazy because when I first bought the airbrush, like I bought the testers airbrush paint, and man, those colors just never worked for me. Like I tried like the Tamiyas were all right, but just House of Colors, just you know, that's my number one to go with right now. So yeah, you know, and that's, I really want to open myself and, you know, and try more with that, you know, experience a little bit more.
Yeah. On Facebook, I'll send you a video that, do you follow Coast Airbrush? Their like page?
Coast Airbrush. I think I do. I'm not too sure. Yeah. I don't think on Facebook.
Yeah. On Facebook. Cause they, every week they do like a live broadcast from there. It's called Live at 5, and it's an hour broadcast where they showcase like their paints and different products. And there is an episode in there where they had Armando Serrano as a guest, and okay, he's talking about the Iwata spray gun. But if you, I'll send you the link. But like if you watch that video. And it, or at the very end, he tapes up a panel, and he does all these pattern lines with tape, and then he's shooting, you know, the colors, and then he's taking off the tape. So that right there is gonna help you a lot to get more of an idea of like the patterns, but also more like the different tones using the same color. Because
yeah,
it looks crazy. Like at the end, you're like, oh dang, that's how he did it, you know? But in the beginning, you're wondering like, what is he doing? But then once you see the final result, you're like, whoa, this is the, yeah, this is dope.
There's this guy I follow. His name is Candy and Chrome.
Oh yeah, and, yeah.
He does like a lot of phone cases, and you know, I seen a lot of his videos, and you know. And that's how I kind of got an idea about the patterns and the color shades, using the same color. Like the more you spray, the darker it gets, and you know, and that's how I work myself. You know, that's like my little school right there, like watching videos and you know, just study how they spray everything.
Yeah, it's cool like to see all that stuff. That's one thing I love about the Instagram. Because more and more you're seeing like more painters recording themselves or having someone film them while they're doing like a pattern or something, a panel, and they're breaking it down. Like more people that know about that industry that do that, they already know what's going on. But for like a lot of us that are still like learning and we want to learn more, to us it's like, man, it's like gold, you know? We're like, man. Like, cause we all want to reach that level, like to be able to do that stuff, especially like on the model cars, you know.
And oh yeah,
cause you never know, man. Like, let's say you learn all this stuff from the model cars, and then eventually, like, you know, you someone hits you up and is like, hey, can you paint my bike or a pedal car or my road car? And by then you're like, oh damn, I do know how to do it, you know. But I just need to pretty much do it on a bigger scale, like figure out the measuring and everything and just go from there.
Oh, yeah, that would be cool right there, taking it like a bigger project and, you know, just the experience that you'll have, you know, it's just like, you know, something that'll stick with you. You know, the more you try, you know, the better you're going to get at it, you know?
Yeah, no, definitely. And when you started building model cars, like how old are you when that went down?
I got my first model car when I was like, I was probably like 10 years old. I remember there was this spot. It was on Vermont and 59. There was like a little shop. They sell like hopper lowrider cars. And I remember walking up in there, and you know, I went up there and asked for the prices, and I remember exactly, there were $50 for the hoppers, you know, all done up.
Mm-hmm.
And I bought my first model car. I asked my dad, and he was like, nah, man, that's too much money. And I remember that summer, there was my neighbor. He worked for delivering, like, flyers for, like, pizza delivery. And he was like, man, help me out, and I'll give you $30. And I went twice, 2 days to work with him, and to earn enough money to buy my model car. And you know, I bought the first hopper. I still remember it was a F-150 truck. It was like brown, and it had the back where it'll raise up and spin.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I went and bought that, and you know, that kind of got me hooked. And you know, a year later, I think I went and bought a 64, you know, and that was like in 98 99, maybe. I bought a 64 Impala, and you know, I built it, and you know, I was like, damn, I was kind of amazed with the, you know, with the other hopper I had. And I was like, man, I can do this. And I remember having like regular RC cars, and I'll take them apart, and because I didn't know where to get the Johnson motors and none of that. So I had an RC car, and I took it apart. I broke it down and took the little motors it had. And, you know, I built my first hopper at that time. You know, it was crazy.
Mm-hmm. I remember
like heating up, like, my mom used to get mad at me because I'll grab like the kitchen knife, because at that time, you know, I didn't know nothing about hobbies or nothing. So I'll grab like the kitchen knife, heat it up to cut through the plastic, and you know, it was crazy. So yeah, I started building, like, my first model car was like in 98 maybe. Mm-hmm. That I built myself.
Damn, that's how, were any of your other friends building as well, or was it just you?
I mean, I had other friends. They bought their cars, you know, built already, you know, but it was like a group of us. It was like at least like 3 or 4 guys that, you know, we all bought a model car, and we were just playing with them, hopping them, you know. Mm-hmm. Just showing them off. So that's when it really started for me. Like, you know, like, man, it was just amazing, you know, the little cars and what you can do with them, and you know.
Damn, that's pretty cool. And when did you guys start So Many Ways? Like, what year was that started?
That probably started around 2017. You know, Moreno Kenny?
Yes.
He gave a model car to one of our friends that he had built already, and it was three of us, and we're like, man, we can build those. And, you know, we started just hanging out, building model cars. And we're like, man, we should start a crew. Because, you know, we ran into True Riders. We ran into that page. And we're like, you know, we should start our own crew and, you know, hop these guys. And so, you know, we started our own little clique, you know, three guys. And then other guys like what we were doing, and they wanted to join, and like little by little we started, you know, recruiting, you know, guys here and there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I've noticed there's more members, but some of them live far away, right? Like outside of California.
Yeah, well, we have a few. Like we had one in Texas. There was another one in I can't remember. It was pretty far over there by New York. I think, I can't remember.
He's like on the East Coast.
Somewhere in the East Coast. And, you know, I mean, they hit me up. They like what we were doing, like on Instagram, you know, pulling up with the hoppers. And, you know, it was just like always a friendly thing. And they like what we did. And we just started recruiting guys, like, you know, little by little. And, you know, we became kind of popular with the hoppers.
Yeah, no, definitely, because you don't see that many people bringing out hoppers that much, and like you guys always bust out, so that's always a fun thing, you know. So like every show that you guys are at, it's always cool to see you guys there and bringing your hoppers, and it's just cool because you guys are always bringing different cars, and it's just like, man, you're always noticing something different on the cars all the time, you know?
And that's one thing that we got our name, you know, so many ways that, you know, like us three, like those three guys, and we all built different, you know, and we're like, man, let's just call ourselves so many ways. And, you know, we all built different, like in different ways. So we're like, oh, man, that kind of stick to us. And that's how we got our name, so many ways.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. Yeah, because even like on Instagram, your following is growing, dude, like a lot. Like a lot of people are really loving what you're doing, so you just gotta keep up the good work right there.
Yeah, actually, you know, I ran like there's lowrider pages where, you know, they just like lowrider stuff, and mm-hmm. you know, there's been a couple of guys that share my page, and you know, my followers just started increasing, and it, you know, it's been crazy, you know.
Yeah,
like I'm not too familiar with Instagram, but like little by little, like, you know, I'm learning how to work Instagram, you know, like how to get more followers. I didn't know nothing about hashtag. I didn't know nothing. So like little by little, I caught up and I started seeing more followers, man. And it's crazy.
Yeah. Nah. Yeah. People are going to find you, dude, for sure. Like once not like, I mean, it's like, people like sharing your guys' stuff and tagging you guys on your work as well. So it's like, you know, it's a matter of time. Just got to keep putting out that work. And there's going to be a lot of people that are going to be following you that you're inspiring, I bet. That people, like, they see what you're doing and they're like, man, I want to do a hopper, you know? Like, I'm sure you've inspired a lot of people to make hoppers.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's been crazy because, you know, there's a lot of people that, you know, they want me to do a how-to video, and it's kind of hard not to tell them no. Like, I mean, like, I want to do one real bad. It's just, I don't have the right equipment to film and everything, you know? Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's a lot of questions I get asked, like, oh, how you do this or how you do that, and, you know? And it's hard explaining, then, you know, it would be a lot easier if I was able to show or you know, or do a how-to video. So people will be kind of familiar on how to start, or, you know.
Yeah. Didn't you do a video a while back kind of breaking it down, like, as to, like, how much it costs, like, to do a hopper?
Yeah, I did a video, like, because there was this guy that... He offered me, like, you know, like, it was a cheap offer. Like, you know, he offered me a little bit of money, and I was like, you know, I just wanted to do a quick video on how much you spend on trying to build a car, you know, and mm-hmm. like, little by little, you know, it starts adding up, you know, because, you know, buying all the, you know, you have to buy a lot of stuff to get, you know, to get a hopper going, you know. It's not just, oh, I'm going to go to the hobby shop and buy two or three things, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It, you know, there's a list you got to go down, and there's a lot of parts, you know.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty cool. Like, when I saw that, I was like, that's very informative right there. Like, a lot of people need to see this because, yeah, it's not cheap, like, at all, you know. You can't just be like, oh, make me a hopper, I'll give you this much. Like, dude, it's going to be way more than that, you know? And that's the thing, too. It's like, it's hard because, like, you know, you're doing it for yourself and stuff. And I mean, I know some people, you know, they probably want to get it as a gift for someone. But at the same time, it's like, you don't want to, like, offend anyone, you know? And then even sometimes they don't even know either, you know? They might think, like, let's say $100 is a lot. But it's like not even close to what it is. That you're like, what? Like, nah, you know?
No, yeah, it's crazy because, you know, because sometimes they ask me, oh, how much for the car? And I'll give them a price, and then I'll tell them, well, you're going to need a switch box with that. So that'll be like another $100. And they'll be like, you serious? And, you know, like to build a switch box, you know, you know, like, each switch costs like $10, and then you got to get the wiring, and then you got to get a rechargeable battery, you know, and you know, there's a lot of people that they don't know what it costs, but, you know, they try to lowball you, and, you know, and it's just hard, you know, it's hard when people don't understand the hobby and the time it takes to build everything, you know. It's not over a night thing that you know, it's going to happen.
Yeah, that's something I want to learn too, is how to do the switch box. Because I remember trying to, like, seeing pictures of depending how many switches you have, and then how they're just looking at pictures of how they're crossed or how they're all, like, connected. And I'm like, all right, I'm lost here now. Like, I'm confused, you know? But yeah, I mean, all that stuff, man, it's all it's your talent, your skill, your time. That is in there, and it's, you know, it can be cheap. It just can't.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's crazy because some people don't understand that, and they just think, oh, you know, it's a simple thing. Because usually when I post it, I'll post it overnight or already have it built, and people think, oh, this guy just built it in an hour, and then. No, man, this takes time, you know. It takes a lot of time, patience, and you have to solder everything, and you know, it's just crazy how people expect, you know, to have everything simple, you know.
Yeah, no, definitely. I get that a lot at work too, because I work at a flower shop with my parents, and like there's times that people will want something like super extravagant, but they want it like at a certain price that it's like, it just does not meet, you know, like for what they want, it's going to cost a lot, but it's like, nah, but it's understandable. Like at some point you kind of learn how to kind of dodge those kind of like offers or whatever. And then watch in the future, there's going to be people that are going to see your stuff and they're going to want to pay you big money for it. Cause they're going to be like, dang, like, this is like on a whole other level right here. Hopper and plus like the paint and everything. Like you're going to be giving, like offering a full package right there, you know?
No, I mean, it's been crazy because we went to, I think it was a Glasshouse Fest. And this guy was there like, man, build me a model car. I got 500. And then he was like, oh, is that too little? And then he was like, well, 700. But, you know, he had a nice glass house, like a paint job, it's something I couldn't pull off. So I was like, you know, I can't do it for you right now. You know, probably later, once I get my skills up there, you know, to do a paint job like what you got, I probably would have took the order. But, you know, like something I can't do, I just can't take it, you know?
Yeah, yeah. No, that's good that you're honest, though, you know? Like, you know, like, you know what? Like, down the road. And then at the same time, like that could be some motivation to open up a door of doing like replicas and stuff like that. Like over time, once the paint and everything start getting it more down, start doing the like the replica paint jobs and stuff. That'd be pretty dope. I saw in one of your last posts, you got a like an El Camino. Are you gonna do it into a monster truck or what?
No, actually, I'm going to do it into a lowrider.
Okay. It's just actually, the box art, right?
Yeah, because I went to the... I was going to do a Regal, but that car was kind of smashed, so I didn't really want to mess with it, so I opened that El Camino. I seen this El Camino at that show we were on Sunday, and I was like, well, I'm going to open this one and build it, like, something, like, similar to it, you know?
Yeah. That's pretty cool. Yeah, because I was looking at it and I was going like, oh, what is he gonna do? But now that I see, and then I'm also I'm looking at your Instagram right now. I see Alex was out there. He had his display. It's like the liquor store.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Oh, Socorro's liquor. I was like trying to read it right now. Sorry, but. Yeah, that's pretty cool. I see the your 61s right there chilling on the, on the diorama.
You know, I just had a plain table and he was like, man, you can use my diorama. And I was like, man, like I'll use it. Like I had never met the guy. He was like, man, just use my diorama so you can have like a little display. And it was pretty cool of him because, you know, I was kind of, I gave my diorama away, so I was like, man, you know, I kind of needed it to display a couple cars, and I used it and I switched cars a couple times to, you know, take a couple pictures.
Yeah, no, that's pretty cool. It looks clean. It looks really nice. I see you have your Chevy. It's like a candy red, the truck.
Yeah, the red Apache. Yeah, the red truck. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it looks bad, dude. I like that right there. Yeah, it was like
Thanks, bro.
nice and sunny day right there. That's bad, man. Yeah, it looks like you guys had a lot of fun at the show.
No, it was a good day, man. I came with a lot of sunburn because like the weather at first, it was a cool weather. It was kind of cloudy, and then the sun came out, and then like the wind started blowing, and then the sun came out again. But it was time that the weather was helping out.
Yeah, like it just creeps up, like all of a sudden, and next thing you're like, man, I should have worn like sunblock or something, too, so you
Yeah,
can
I
get like
should have been more
sunburned.
prepared.
Yeah. No, I get it gets hard sometimes too. Like I've done that where I go out with my girlfriend somewhere and she's like, put sunblock on. I'm like, now I'm good and I'm wearing sunglasses. And then when I take them off later, my nose is all red. And I'm like, dang, I look all crazy.
Yeah, because you never know what you expect from this Cali weather. Like, it could be like winter in the morning, summer in the evening, and then it'll be, cold at night. So, you never know what to expect with this Cali weather. So, I was dressed, I was like dressed like for, like a cloudy day. And man, sun came out and then wind started blowing. It was Riverside. So, Riverside, the weather's crazy out there. So,
Yeah, I'm looking at another post he posted. You got some God Hand the sanding pads, the polishing pads.
yeah.
Those right there, those are the ones that I use when I polish the clear. So I recommend those ones for that.
Yeah, because I actually tried them in because I had like some little dust that landed on the car, and it was my first time trying them, and they worked pretty good. And because I see a lot of your videos on your materials on the stuff you use, like your tools and all that. So sometimes I kind of get an idea of what you're using, and if I see it available, I'll try to get it, and that helps out a lot.
Yeah, no, that's dope. No, definitely. Like, those ones, I recommend, like, you know how they're pretty long, like the stick. I normally when I open mine from the pack, I always like to cut them in half. Just like I fold them and then just cut them in half so I have like small little rectangle squares. And then it's just easier for me to hold. And once, like, let's say one of them over time is worn out, like I pretty much just used it so much, then I still have an extra one from the same grit size that I can use. But those ones are handy for for polishing for sure. Those I do trust, and all, like when you're wet sanding it and everything. And then they work really well in the water as well. So like if they ever get a little like the grit, if it gets like clogged up or whatever, there's stuff in there, you can always put them in water. And you could even use a little bit of soap, like dish soap, and get a toothbrush and then just brush off whatever dirt that or whatever from the plastic or from the clear that might be stuck in there. It should come off.
Okay.
But
Oh, yeah.
yeah, those come in handy. They also make them in like 120 grit, 240, 400, 600, 800, up to 1,000 grit. And the 140 and the 240 are the ones. I mean the 100 and the 240 are the ones I use a lot, just because I really want to like cut in there and get rid of certain, like take off certain things off the body, or when I'm trying to like smooth stuff out.
Okay,
That way,
the body mold and all that, right?
yeah. Like if I want to take off, let's say like the emblems, the little scriptures and everything, and I just want to make the body look really smooth, shave off door handles. I'll use like the 240, but if I want to do it really fast, then I use the 100, and that thing's really gritty. It feels like you have rocks in there, like sharp rocks.
What?
It's really rough, but yeah, once you get it in there, it'll take away whatever, and then and then I started using the 240 and then go up from there. So then it's like smooth. You won't even tell. It would just be like, oh, dang, it just looks cleaner. But I've also been using a lot of files too, like fine files.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, those come in super handy.
I use that. Those are a lot, but these, you know, they're a lot more flexible, so it's a lot easier to use. And now that you tell me they got different grits, I'm going to have to check it out and get some, because, you know, it's just more flexible, easy to just maneuver and get through, like, the little cracks and try to get rid of those mold lines. Cause,
Oh, yeah, especially for that. Yeah, because to me, the 240 grit is the one that is like perfect for that, for the mold lines. It takes them off really good. And what's cool is that each grit, when they sell the packaging, each grit is in a different color as well. That's another thing. I know with these ones, they're all kind of, the foam is all white, but the lettering is in different colors and the number. But with the other ones, they just switch up the colors on the foam on there, and then they add the text lettering of the size. But those are dope. I love their products. They make good products. They're hard to find sometimes, though, out here.
Yeah, actually, I found those at ValleyCon, this past one that was here. Mm-hmm. And you know, there was there was a guy selling them, and I bought a couple of them, so, you know, just to try them out. And man, they do wonders. They work great. I highly recommend those too.
Yeah, because a lot of the those, I know a lot of people that use them mostly are for the Gundams, those like robot figures that they do. And I think some of those Gundams were probably there too at the ValleyCon on display. Because I know last year I saw a lot of different, like, people displaying different things aside from cars. And I was, like, tripping out. I couldn't go this year, though, to the ValleyCon. I wish I could have gone to that one. That's one I missed out on, for sure.
Because I've been to when they did it in Peterson Museum. And this year was in Pasadena, and there was a... The place was a lot smaller. It was kind of they had all the different models just kind of squeezed up into tables. And, you know, it was good, but you know, it was better like the last years, you know, like more space, they had like more vendors and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It was pretty nice this year, though. It was not bad.
That's cool. Also, and I just want to bring it up. You guys were also featured in the Dedicated magazine. There was like a nice spread, like, feature on you guys. That was pretty dope.
Yeah, it actually was, you know, and it was an honor to, you know, to be there. Cause, you know, I guess, you know, there's been, you know, we try to make it to every event, and, it's just been paid off for us. Cause, you know, little by little, you know, everybody shows love to us, and you know, Dedicated magazine just hit it out the park, you know, showing love to us, you know, because, you know, we're just beginning, you know, so many ways. It's just like the beginning of so many ways, and we kind of just want to, you know, thank them a lot, because, you know, it's for showing love, you know?
No, yeah, I mean, it's, if you think about it, like, it's been, so it's 2017, so it's been 2 years, but it's like, you guys, you know, all the stuff you guys have done to now, and it's just the beginning, you know? It's like, there's still more that lies ahead, and you guys have been doing a lot of stuff, and just seeing that on there is really nice, because, like, in the future, like, who knows what we're going to be doing, you know? We might still be building model cars, or some of us might take breaks from it, or whatever happens, but like, you'll always have that documented in a magazine, you know, like memories. It, to me,
yeah,
like, I know I've told like David and Willie about it. It's more I look at it as also like a yearbook, let's say, you know, like, there's just something special about it, that you're looking through it and you're seeing your friends in there.
Yeah. No, it's crazy because, you know, when they first told us, like, you know, I couldn't believe it. And when Kenny confirmed it and that, you know, it was true that they wanted their future, you know, it was just crazy because at that time, Caesar couldn't make it, and there was other guys that couldn't make it. But, you know, me and Kenny brought enough parts, to have a couple pages there. And, you know, the future was, you know, was a good thing, good experience, you know. It's just something, you know, that it keeps us motivated to, you know, to keep trying, you know, to better ourselves.
Yeah, no, definitely. And it's like, you know, just keep having fun. You guys keep doing your thing you know, like keep inspiring people because you guys are doing a good job and just keep it up.
No, definitely. And that's one thing that, you know, we like about this hobby that, you know, everywhere we go, you know, everybody shows the love and, you know, they welcome us, you know, and this hobby is just amazing. And that's one thing that I love that, you know, there's, you know, the love we get back and the love we, you know, we trying to get back too.
Mm-hmm. No, definitely. Is there anybody you want to like shout out?
I mean, definitely. I mean, there's a lot of great builders out there that inspire me. I mean, Spanks, there's Lalo Duran, there's a lot of guys that, you know, inspire me, you know, to step up my game. You know, it's just, you know, good people, you know, that show love back to us.
Nice. That's what's up. Nah, yeah, man. You guys just keep doing your thing. I mean, when I see your guys' stuff, I'm inspired too. I'm like, man, like I kind of want to like build another hopper too. I'm like, oh man, I want to, cause I still have all my parts, like A arms, Johnson motors, the string, everything. Like I have like a little, box, like case that has all the stuff that I was buying at the time. The little springs, the eyelets, like whatever that I learned, I just threw it all in there. And once in a while, I open it. And I'm like, man, you know.
No, definitely. I mean, building a hopper is a good experience. I mean, everybody got their own category on what they're good at, you know. And if there's a way I can help you build one, bro, just hit me up, you know, send me a message. You know, I'm glad to help you, you know.
Nah, yeah.
You know, but
I'll have to send you some pictures of like one of the Impalas that I had done. I have it in a case. The car's not active, let's say, but it does have pretty much like the servos work, the back goes up and down and everything, but it's more like the motion of the string, you know, like making it hop. I feel like there's some weak points in the front that need to be corrected. So I'll follow up with you on that later.
Yeah, definitely, bro. Like I say, I mean, you know, there's always little things that, you know, that, I mean, to build a hopper is just like a list that continues. But I mean, I'll help you, like, you know, I can give you a few pointers or I can send you pictures just to get an idea. Because, you know, building a hopper is just a lot of things that you got to, you know, get right to get the right hop. You know, for the string won't get stuck. You know, you got to wire the string right. You know, there's a lot of little things that's not going to make the car work, you know?
No, yeah, that's right. That's true. No, I appreciate that. Now, you know, we'll have to do something. Like, what city are you in now?
I stay in South Los Angeles.
Okay, so you're not that far. I'm in Simi Valley out here.
Okay.
Yeah. So I don't know, one day we'll have to like figure out a day to link up, and this way, you know, it can be one of those things where I could show you like the stuff with the painting, and then you could also break it down with like the hopper stuff too, you know. I think that would be kind of cool, like a learning thing, you know?
Yeah, definitely, bro. That sounds like, you know, like some great plans there. You know, there's always things that I want to learn, you know, and I'm more than glad if you can teach me, you know, and I really appreciate that.
No, yeah, man. Well, hey, George, it was a pleasure, dude, having you on the podcast. This was fun. We'll have to do it again.
Oh, definitely, bro. You know, my pleasure. You know, thanks for having me. You know,
appreciate
that a lot.
It's been a minute. I was like, man, I want to get George on, because I know you do a lot of stuff with the Hoppers, and just seeing how active and you're putting in a lot of work. Like I see all the hard work you're putting in, and all the progression that I'm like, man, and there's a lot of stuff too. You know, I'm like, man, I want to know a little bit more about George, like his history, like when did this start and everything. So I think this is cool. Like, especially for the listeners too, they'll get to see and hear you as well, you know? And if you guys want to check out George on Instagram, you guys can check him out. His Instagram is at so many ways MCC. And the word ways is with a Z, not with an S at the end. So make sure you check him out. I'll also tag him on Instagram. And do you guys also have a Facebook like page by any chance?
Yeah, actually, we have so many ways. It's just so many ways, the same way it's spelled, but okay. No MCC.
All right. We'll link that as well. So this way, for those of you that listen, that, you know, want to check out their work on Facebook, but also on the Instagram as well. And I also want to shout out the partners / sponsors, Dedicated Magazine. Make sure you guys visit them at dedicatedmagazine.com. I know that their pre-orders are done, but the magazines, for those that ordered it, those will be going out soon. And then I know they're going to launch the Mac Cloud. So if you missed out on Volume 2, don't worry. There's going to be a link to be able to order Volume 2 through MacCloud.com. But make sure to keep up to date on Instagram. Look them up, Dedicated Magazine on Instagram. And if you want to see their website, it's dedicatedmagazine.com. And also Scaled World. You can check them out at scaledworld.net. They have different features of model car builders, also interviews and show coverage. So make sure to check them out, and also on Instagram at Scale World. So thank you guys for listening. Thank you, George, for being on this episode, number 71. And keep on building, man, and let's keep in touch.
Thanks, bro. Thanks for having me, bro. I appreciate it a lot, and stay blessed.
Oh, likewise. Thank you. Have a good night, bro.
All right, you too, bro.
Thank you. Bye. Super cool. Word up, man.